All right, let's go ahead and pick it back up. We're on the other side of the page now. We'll try and cover this 2 hours of material in 45 minutes. Now, basically, we'll just look down through these, and I'll let you look these up on your own. Okay, this portion at the top. But these are the names of the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord, all right? So, signifying His deity, Romans 8, 9 is an example. He's called the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, Genesis 25, 8. Many other places, signifying His personhood. The Holy Spirit, signifying His holiness. Ephesians 4:30, 1 Thessalonians 4:8. He's called the Comforter. He provides and gives comfort. John 14:26, Romans 15:4, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What has the Holy Spirit given us here? See, the Holy Spirit will comfort you through the words that He has written. He is the Comforter. And 2 Corinthians 1:4 as well. He's called the Spirit of Truth. John 14:17, John 15:26, and John 16:13. He emphasizes the truth always. As David prayed back there in the Psalms, remove lies and vanity far from me. That's the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want any lie. He doesn't want any vanity around Him. He's called the Spirit of Promise, Ephesians 1:13. He's called the Spirit of Life, Romans 8:2. He's called the Spirit of Adoption, Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:6. He's called the Eternal Spirit, Hebrews 9:14. So we find 9 names for the Holy Spirit, which is interesting. How many fruits are there of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely, 9. Where is that found in your Bible? Galatians chapter 5. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, you have the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? So I did a little study on that, and the Bible mentions different fruits in the Bible. Talks about apples, mentions grapes, mentions figs, mentions sycamore, mentions pomegranates, mentions dates. All together, I came up with a list. There are 9 fruits mentioned in the Bible. Olives is another one. There's 9 altogether, matching the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So now we're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit, and maybe this will answer some of your questions, Pauline. If not, we may still do some question and answer after we're done. Now, if you would, please, if you'll notice the Spirit of Life, number 7 above, Romans 8:2, His gift, the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal life. Whenever someone seeks to emphasize any gift of God's Holy Spirit greater than the gift of eternal life, that is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's numero uno, number one, top shelf, premium gift to every believer is the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's interesting that most of these people that want to talk so much about these sign gifts of the Holy Spirit don't even know for sure they have eternal life. Don't you find that strange? Don't you find that odd? Something bizarre in that. Because the number one gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal. What could be greater than that? Everything else follows that, does not precede it, see. So that must be first. And if you'll look in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, verse 23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we get the gift of God. The Holy Spirit himself is a gift. Isn't he? How many of you have the Holy Spirit? Raise your hands. How many of you worked for it? How many of you earned the Holy Spirit? Nope. You can't earn it. It's a gift. It must be received. You receive it just like you do a present, Frank. Just like a gift. Amen. That's all you have. You don't have to work for it, right? You work because of it. You work as an outpouring of it, but you don't work to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. Acts 10 and verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of, what's the gift? The Holy Ghost. The gift is the Holy Ghost himself, you see. That's the gift. And so we see these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number one, eternal life. Number two, the Spirit himself. Look in chapter 11 of Acts, chapter 11 and verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? First Gentile that's ever received the gift of the Holy Ghost is there in Acts 10. And then Peter's recounting it to the Jews in Acts chapter 11. And now telling them that the Gentiles can receive the Holy Spirit just like the Jews. God has allowed them to receive the same gift that he has given to the nation of Israel, that being the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right? Now, some of the gifts in the Bible are sign gifts. The reason for these gifts, the purpose behind the Holy Spirit giving these gifts, is for a sign. All right? And these are called the sign gifts. Look in Mark chapter 16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Mark chapter 16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So what were they to preach? What gospel? Thank you. That's not the gospel of the grace of Christ. The gospel of the grace, listen, the gospel of the grace of Christ was revealed to the Apostle Paul to be revealed to the church. The Apostle Paul doesn't even get saved until Acts chapter 9. Any gospel that's being preached before then is the gospel of the kingdom. It is a different gospel. You need to understand that. They're not preaching that if you believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you'll go to heaven. The Jews weren't even interested in that. They were interested in a Messiah. They were interested in a kingdom. They were interested in Christ returning and sitting on the throne and reigning in Jerusalem. That's it. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now you know why it says, and is baptized. Because it's the gospel of the kingdom. It's not the gospel of the grace of Christ. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And these what? Signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. That's a sign gift. They shall speak with new tongues. Tongues are a sign gift. They shall take up serpents. That is a sign gift. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That is a sign gift. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That is a sign gift. All those right there are said to be what? Signs. Why? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look in verse 22. 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. Who were the signs given to? What was the first sign ever given in the Bible? It was Moses. Yes. He cast the rod down and it became a serpent. And he took up the serpent. A sign gift. See? And then he touched out that rod and the water became blood. A sign gift. And all the plagues and everything. Those were signs. See? Why? The Jews require a sign. All through the Bible, Elijah came doing what? Giving signs of who the true and living God was. Elisha did what? He gave signs. Isaiah did what? He gave signs. See? You understand? The Jews require a sign. When were the Jews told to walk only by faith? They never were. They were told to believe and trust God. But they were always given a sign so that they could do so. With us, there is no sign. We are saved by grace through faith. See? There's no sign attached to that thing anywhere. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It isn't about signs. It's about believing the Bible. Period. Well, isn't that hard? No, it's the easiest thing in the world. Just believe what God said. Doesn't He ask a lot from us? Because if you'll actually believe what He said, you can have a victorious Christian life. If you would just simply believe what He said. Okay? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. What's He saying there? Believe what I said. See? Don't trust your own understanding. Trust the Scriptures. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Just obey what God said. It's real simple. Where are we at? Talking about the signs. So those are the sign gifts, and they are given to the Jew, to the nation of Israel. Now, some gifts are to the body of Christ in general. All right? And those gifts to the body of Christ are by way of office. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1. Now therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called to one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, is above all, through all, and in you all. So we should be one. Because God's one. That's the point of all this, see? Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave, here's some gifts. He gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, so on and so forth. All right? God gives the gifts. What are they? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Those are gifts from the Holy Spirit to the body of Christ. Now hold your place there. Look back in chapter 2 of Ephesians so you don't get off course, off track. You have to understand, he lists these five, but at the time you still had apostles and prophets. You no longer have apostles and prophets. See, look in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and the rest of the foundation of that house is what? The apostles and prophets. The church has been around for over 1900 years. You no longer need to build the foundation. It's been built. It's been established, and now it's all been put into writing. And so now God gives the body of Christ evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to help all Christians come and become what they need to be in the Lord. That's the purpose behind it all. Amen? You understand that? You all got that? Okay. Still kind of looking. I don't know if all the light bulbs are going on or not here. You're looking at me like a tree full of owls or something. Alright, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What is the purpose of the gifts to the body of Christ? For what purpose beyond that? To edify you, to build you up, to encourage you, to help you. Why? Why? Because one day you're going to see him. It's a preparation for that day. You all with me? What all this is about is a preparation for the day that you see him face to face. You want to be prepared. You say, I'm saved, I'm ready. A little more to it than that. He doesn't want you showing up there as a babe in Christ after you've been saved 14 years. He wants you to show up in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ when you stand before him. That's what he desires of us. So he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, what kind of a gift is that? That's the gift. If you're waiting for his coming, if you're looking forward to seeing him, that's the gift you want. You see? Because that's what it's all about. It's all about preparation for the day when the Lord blows the trumpet and calls us all home. See? Or the day when you take your last breath and you depart out of this, your tabernacle of flesh, and appear before the throne of God in glory. One way or the other. See? You want to be as ready as possible for that day. You don't want to show up to Jesus Christ empty-handed. You want to be able to show up there saying, Lord, I didn't waste it all. I did a little something for you while I was down here. And you don't have to. There's not anybody here that has to serve Jesus Christ. You're doing it because you want to. See, God doesn't force us. Don't you think there's people around right now that are saved just as much as you and I, going to heaven just like you and I, and they're not in church, and they're not serving God, and they're out in the world? You could be there tomorrow, if you wanted. It's all up to what you want. See? But one day they will appear before Christ just like you will, if they're saved. See? What shape are you going to appear in when you appear before Him? My desire and my job as a pastor is to make you as prepared as possible for that day. That's when I want my kudos. That's when I want my thanks. That's what it's all about, is that right there. Amen? If I had a church of 500, but they weren't really ready to meet Jesus Christ when He blew that trumpet, I have failed. If I have a church of 50 that are ready and looking forward and have something to bring them when they show up, I'm a success. It's not as much about the numbers. It's about what you've done with what God's given you. See. All right. Continuing on then, 1 Corinthians, we're already there, chapter 12. The Holy Spirit gifts, and He gives different gifts to different believers. Not everybody has all the same gifts, all the same qualities, and the Lord uses those differences for the edification of the body. Just like in anything, on a football team, not everybody can play quarterback. Not everybody can be the running back. Most of the team are up there just smashing the mouth of somebody else in front of them and getting knocked down and pushing around their guards. They're the tackles. They're the, you know, they're the defensive linemen. They're the center. They're the nose tackle. Those are the linebackers. Those are the guys just bumping heads, man, and just crunching. They're on the front lines, you see. They don't get most of the glory. They don't get most of the yeehaws and yahoos. They're not recognized or noticed very much, but they are just as essential to that team winning or losing as anyone else on the team. You see, the body of Christ is like that. It's like a sports team. It's like a military outfit. It's like any of that. You have rank, you have structure, you have different people doing different things within that body, but it's all working one in the self thing to edify itself, to encourage each believer, to help each other out until that day when we appear before Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I have 2 Corinthians, hold on a minute. Missed it by a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. The Holy Spirit decides what gifts, what abilities you're going to get. See? And He does it for His purpose, for His will, for His glory. See? God knows He can get glory out of me by calling a knucklehead like me to preach and teach the Bible. He can get glory for that. Because He knows what I used to be and what I used to do. See? I mean, I was an atheist until I was 25 years old. I was a reveler. I was a partier. I was a rock and roller. I had my ear pierced in 1981, man. These people are a little behind the times now. You understand? But God was able to take someone like that and save him and then call him into the ministry and use him. That's God. It ain't me, see? So God gets the glory. Praise the Lord. That's what you want. See? And so the Lord will give you things that He'll get the glory for. I guarantee you, if you ask people that knew Henry Vick 10 years ago, that will admit it. How many of them you suppose would have thought that Henry would have been the one driving the van around, picking kids up? That way, God gets the glory for it. You understand? See? The Lord wants to get some glory. That's all I'm trying to get you to understand in all that is, the Holy Spirit's going to give you abilities and everything. Make sure you don't take the credit for it. See? You can take the credit for not being lazy. See? You can take the credit for giving it your best shot. See? But He's the one that has to give those gifts and give those abilities. He has to do it. If you have the ability to witness for people and tell people about Christ, it's the Holy Spirit that gives you that ability. I believe He will give that to any Christian that wants it. I just don't think there's enough Christians that want it. Really. I believe that. I believe if you truly want to be a witness for Christ, He will enable you. He will enable you to do it. I don't doubt that a bit. He's just looking for willing vessels. You know, folks, I've heard people say, "Can God use me?" We're in the Laodicean church. God will use anybody. Anybody that wants to be used, God will use. Amen. You want to be one of the prayer warriors of the church? Go unknown and unnoticed. God could use some people like that. Problem is how many people want to do something like that where you're never going to be noticed? And never appreciated. And nobody's ever going to come and thank you for being the great prayer warrior of the church. Because if we had some, nobody would ever know who they are. God will. But nobody else will. You understand? And if everybody else knew it, that wasn't the one God was using. Do you follow me? So it takes different people and different places and all that. That's what makes a church. See? A lot of churches today, ladies and gentlemen, it's about the pastor and his 10 co-pastors. We okay? Sometimes one of them is his wife. And they do everything in the church, and they got the secretary, and then they got the paid musicians and the paid song leader, music director. See? And you got a big old church, and then everybody else comes in. They all come in, and they sit down, and they have their little music thing going on, and their announcement time, and then they come up and they do some special singings from some professional singer, and then the pastor preaches his 25-minute sermon, and then they have a short invitation afterwards, and they're out by 12. And they may meet on Wednesdays for prayer. And when they do, it's about 30 or 40 people out of those 3,000 that were there. Unless you have something special for them. You know, if you have a teen ministry for the teens, they'll come. And if you have a special thing for nursing mothers, they'll come. And if you have your little special thing for the military crew, they'll come. And if you have your special thing, see, we're Laodicean church. So everybody needs something for them. And so they give them those things, and then so they have a big church. But that's not the way the body of Christ is supposed to work. The body of Christ works one and the same thing with every part of that body doing something. Instead of a couple of thousand pew bumps that come in and pay a tithe and go back out the door and say, "I've done my part." Amen. And that's what you've got going around all over this country right now. That's where we're at. And that is not God's desire for your life, is to simply be a pew pump tither. Now, if you want to just do that, God will let you. If you want to do more, God will use you. How much more do you want to do? Amen. Listen, oh preacher, you know, I only got so much time and you're trying to tell me that. I didn't say anything about doing it for the church. I said, what does God want you to do? You could get involved in some ministry outside of the church. Okay? God may have you doing something like a Bible study at work. Right? Or, you know, doing something else. You might go and decide to go visit when it's not visitation time at church. Okay? That's not a specific church function, but you're doing it. You understand? So, I wonder how many of you have ever done that. Went on visitation when it wasn't visitation night. I shouldn't ask that. Alright. Because I know you all say, well, I can't make it to visitation. I'm just too busy then. I mean, I guess that's why you don't come. Because I know you're a burden for souls. So, but if that's the case, are you going at some other time, somewhere, to someone, trying to reach out somehow to somebody, neighbors, family, friends? I don't know how we got off on all that. So, but there it is. All right, staying in 1 Corinthians 12, and you'll also notice this down in verses 27 and 28, also in chapter 7, verse 7, and Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. And for all of this complete list, this is the list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And it goes as such, prophecy. Which is what? Just giving revelation of the Bible. Exhortation. Which is what? Encouraging and exhorting, getting people on fire for God, getting people excited and wanting to do something for God. Okay? Mercy. Pretty obvious, right? Faith. Wes had asked about that as far as, so faith is a gift. Well, we're all supposed to have faith, and we're all supposed to grow in our faith. But some people are given a specific gift of faith, right? To the point where, like the Bible says, they can move mountains. They can get things done that maybe others can't. They just believe God to the point beyond the possibility of most mortal people believing, right? And that's a gift from God. Helps. That's the most important gift to the church. The least appreciated and the least offered. But the most important. The least recognized, but the most important. It's the helps. It's the little things that many people do that make a church go. You see? It's just being a help. You're just a helper. I just want to help. I may not be a leader. I might not be a teacher, but if there's somehow I can help, I want to help. Hey, that's the kind of people you need. You need more of those than you need anything else. Amen? You know, everybody wants to be the quarterback and the running back. Nobody wants to be the water boy. You know, nobody wants to be the doctor on the sideline. You know, nobody wants to be the guy. You got to be kidding me. I'm sorry. It's an 850 number. I should probably take it. All right. So you have prophecy, exhortation, mercy, faith, helps, ministry, giving. Yeah, giving. Say, how could that be a gift? There's some people that are good at it. I've heard of businessmen that started out tithing 10%, and by the time they were done, they were up to 90%. And they were still millionaires. Okay. Who? Yeah, that was one of them. What was the other one? J.C. Penney. Right. Right. Hello? Yes? Hi, Chuck. We're in the middle of Bible study. How you doing? Yeah, we're all talking now. Yeah. Sure. Why? Okay. All right. Well, because I'm going to have RJ with me. Well, it might not be for him or his mom. Yeah. Well, I'll give you a call when we're done here. Is that okay? Okay. Bye. Love you both. I've never had that thing with me. All right. Anyway, that'll be interesting on the recording. You know what kind of a professional outfit we have here. That was our music director, by the way. Our music ministry. Wisdom. That's a gift. Healing. Now, when I said that, why did you just think of raising somebody from the dead or something? It didn't say that. Healing. There's a couple that just lost a baby. Who's helping them heal? See? Is there people that are good at that, that can help with those sorts of things? Is there people that can help with people that are having trouble with marriages? See? There's people that are hurting, and they need somebody to succor them, and console them, and help heal them. Is there anybody that has that gift that's not using it? That could be a helpful gift. Teaching, that's a gift. Ruling, governmental. Knowledge, a gift. Discerning of spirits, that's a gift. And then, of course, you have the sign gifts, the ones that we already looked at, the miracles, the healing, the tongues, and so forth. God doesn't want us ignorant concerning these gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God doesn't want us ignorant about those things. The problem is a lot of Baptist churches, they're so paranoid when they hear the word gifts of the Holy Spirit, because the charismatics have ruined it for everybody, that they don't even want to go there. But hey, man, there are gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you should want them. But you have to realize it's the Holy Spirit at His will that gives them. But maybe He decides who He gives them to based on what they want. You know? The Holy Spirit knows if you really want to serve God or not. If you got some guy that just gets saved and says, well, I think I'll still enjoy the world and I'll just go to church, why would the Holy Spirit give any gifts to that person? So they could be wasted? He's going to give them to the ones that want to do something, see? Simple as that. Look over there in 1 Corinthians 14. So, the purpose of the gifts is for the edification of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. See? If there's a gift that you should desire, which one is it? It's the ability to show other people the Bible. Period. Above everything else. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth, and albeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, to edification, exhortation, and comfort. All right, who's speaking to men? Those speaking in tongues or those prophesying? So who's helping men? Those speaking in tongues or those prophesying? Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Where were you told to do that in the Bible? That's selfishness. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't that Christianity? Then what's this, hey, everybody, notice me. Yeah, amen, bro. That's it. That's where we're at. It's the church of civil rights. It's the church of me first, see? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that y'all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. Why? For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Amen? And unless there's an interpreter, now when I'm talking tongues, you know what I'm talking about. Foreign languages, that's the Bible. It's not some, that's an issue that we're going to go down, you know, it ain't that junk. Tongues in the Bible is foreign languages. If you're speaking in a foreign language because you have the gift to do so, don't do it unless it can be interpreted. Otherwise, it's not helping anybody. It's just making you look good. And it's not, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not there to make you look good. I'm just soaking that one up for myself. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given for the edification of the body of Christ. Right? Look in Romans chapter, I'm sorry, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12 first, then we'll go to Romans. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. See, it's given you for what profit? The profit of everybody else. When the Holy Spirit gives gifts, it's so that it can profit others. You say, what is all that? What did we just read about? He starts talking about the gifts and the Holy Spirit in chapter 12, right? He picks it up again in chapter 14, right? Talking about those that were messed up with the gifts and they were using the gifts just as a means to be noticed, right? What's between those two chapters? Charity. Charity seeketh not her own. Seeketh not its own. Amen. Is not puffed up. What is charity? Others. Others. Not me. Others. So what's that? That's charity. That's real love. The Philadelphia church had that. That's why it's called Philadelphia. Church of brotherly love. Laodicean church has lost it. They've lost that love. Because real love is seeking to truly help others. It isn't, I wish everybody would know how loving I was. You see the difference there? How subtle that is? I'm such a loving Christian. Why don't people notice? That's not charity. Charity is, I just want to help others. Whether they appreciate it or not, whether they notice it or not, I just want to help others. That's Jesus Christ. You think Jesus Christ did what he did for appreciation? Because he sure never got much. He will one day. Amen. But he wasn't seeking it while he was down here. He was seeking the glory up there. And that'd be a good thing to seek for. All believers must remember that the gifts are not for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. You can also check out Romans 1:11, 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, and Ephesians 3, 7 when you get a chance. We should not neglect the gifts that God has given us. Amen. 1 Timothy 4 says, neglect not the gift of God which is in thee, which was given to thee by the laying on of my hands. You can't neglect a gift if it's been given to you. If somebody has a gift to play music and they don't do it, they've neglected the gift. They still have it, but they don't do it. The Bible says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. If he's given you a gift, he'll never take it back. Ever. If he has given you a gift, he will never take it back. It just depends on what you do with it. Okay? But if he has given you a gift, he does not want you to neglect it. He wants you to continue to grow in it. See? I was called to preach. I was called to teach the Bible. When I first started doing it, I didn't do it as well as I do now. I know I don't do it that great now, so don't give me a hard time. But compared to before, at least I've been able to grow, see, in those gifts. How? By using them. Real simple. Yes, by using them. And I hope that the Lord tarries in 10 years to be able to teach and preach the Bible better than I do now. See? That's all that is. And there's just a simple progression. It's a growth process. And those gifts, you want to, otherwise you're just neglecting them. Like anybody else. And you don't want to do that. And finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. And the Bible says we should desire most sincerely the best gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says what? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet showing on you a more excellent way, what's that? Chapter 13, charity. We were told to covet. What? I thought coveting was wrong. Well, if you're coveting your neighbor's stuff, that's wrong. If you're coveting your neighbor's wife or husband, that's wrong. If you're coveting the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's plenty to go around. It's not wrong. See? Covet all that you want. You ought to want it and desire it more than you would desire anything that your neighbor has. Those will probably be the ones God gives it to. God, I want the best gifts. Give me the best gifts you can possibly give me to help others. If you mean that with all your heart, He'll do it. You know how? The Holy Spirit will do it. And He'll do it, and then He'll get the glory for it. Amen. That's the key to all that. All right. That concludes our study. Let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then if there are questions, those of you who want to stay, we will go ahead and address any questions at that time. Okay, Brother Henry, close us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, Lord. I thank you for the word. I thank you for your holy, precious book, Lord, that you left here, Lord. And I love you, Lord. And Lord, I ask now that you just be with us tonight, be safe, Lord. Just back here Sunday morning, Lord, at the point of time, Lord. And Lord, just fill us with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we can go out and work you, Lord, do the things that you have us do in that spirit, Lord. I love you, Lord. That's all these things in your holy, precious name.
Amen. Amen.